So we got to be on a different time today because the Facebook Live event has started, which means we got to act like we're gonna worship now. What's that? We got to get cooking because there may be people watching online here in a few minutes and can't be with us today. And this is the opportunity we have to be in worship. So thank you all for those who have come. If you are watching online and you have stayed at home, good job. We don't blame you. At least you ought to be exactly right there. We may join some of y'all next week in being at home. But regardless of that, we're going to worship today because this is the day the Lord has made. Amen.
Amen.
This is the day the Lord has made. This is Resurrection Sunday. And so on every Resurrection Sunday, we're going to worship one way or another. And that's what we're doing today. So God bless all of those who are here. I see you spread out real good. Very well done. Keeping your personal space. I like it. A few announcements as we do get started this morning. I want to first thank you all. I put out two calls for help in the last couple of weeks. The first one I put out was for tents. We needed a bunch of tents for our homeless friends. I want you to know that yesterday I gave away, Suzanne, how many was it? 10? It's got to be 10 at least. 10 tents to people who needed them and to an organization who is engaging people on the streets. So you all gave a bunch of money and I went out and raided it. Everybody else is buying toilet paper, I was buying tents and bought every Walmart out. And we're able to hand those out. And so thank you all so much for that help. The second bit of help, I got to show you all this. These are the pictures from Thursday that we took the supplies that you all gave to Ransom Temple Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America, our sister denomination. We got in touch with them and said, we got all this stuff that we've collected. The place we collected it for said they can't take donations anymore, so we got to do something with this stuff, something good. And they said, oh, we're going to give stuff away all the way through the end of the month. So after their worship service today, they're going to have a big cookout and a big giveaway. And all the things that you all gave are going to go to that local community. Not 3-4 blocks from their church was what some of the stuff that was leveled. And you all gave so much help to them. And I just want to say thank you. So that's the picture in the back of my SUV. It went all the way up to the passenger seat. And Victor's was the same way. We loaded his truck down. He said mine was riding a little heavy. I think his did better. So thank you all, thank you all, thank you all for what you've done. Amazing. What other announcements do we have? Right now, we're continuing the study on the book of Romans. In the event that we decide to back that up, I'm going to continue on a Facebook Live event talking about Romans. So we're going to continue that effort as well. If you want to work along with us, read chapter 8 this week. That's what we're going to look at. But we're going to still evaluate how we're going to do that right now. Either way, we're going to study as a church, either technology or in person. What else do we have going on? Are there any other announcements, anything else going on in the life of the church? Jackie, I you got to tell this.
No, that's not what I was
going to say. Well, I'm going to tell this. Pretty close.
Everything is pretty much come in and everything. And a big part of that is because the men who were fishing for the Lord fished their hearts out, and we did not have to buy a single ounce of fish. So that's usually $600 or $700 for having to spend on fish. So that's a big part of why the amount was so much.
And not only that, but we caught the exact right amount of fish. I say we, it only went once, but we were on the last tray of fish when it closed. So it was the exact right amount as well. We planned that, I'm sure.
So the other thing I was just going to announce is if you are going out shopping, not to Costco or Sam's or Publix or any of those places that are crazy, but like Kohl's yesterday was virtually empty when I was in there. And they have all their winter stuff on clearance. I have been able so far to get 37 hoodies, 37 long sleeve shirts to be able to pass out at the Angel Tree at Christmas time next year. So just keep your eye out. Things are less than $10. And I've asked them when they're going to bring their prices down again. It'll probably be in a couple weeks. They still have racks and racks. So we're looking for medium, large, and extra large items, hats, gloves, anything like that. If you're out and you see a really good deal, just bring it in and we'll have a really great bag for them again this year.
Wonderful, wonderful. Don't anybody be nervous. I just saw there's 15 people that are following us right now, so don't get nervous when you're talking or anything or singing. But I want to welcome all those who are here. Thank you for being with us in worship. Julie, you were going to say.
That's what I was going to say.
For those 15 people who are watching, what I would like you to do right now is we're going to have prayer time in a few minutes. What I would like you to do is submit your names on the comments and let us know any names that you want prayed for, because we're going to bring those up front and conclude those in our prayers of the people. So if here in a minute when you can, just enter a comment with a person you'd like us to pray for, and we'll do that. Any other announcements? Well, what we're not going to do next is hug on each other. That ain't going to happen. But maybe you can stand up where you are and turn to your left, your right, your front, and your back, and wave to somebody and tell them hello. And then say these words: the peace of Christ be with you, and return with the words, and also with you. The peace of Christ be with you all. Seconds. Someone asked why I'm down here today. I'll be honest with you. It was a conscious decision, and I feel very safe behind the pulpit. I'm blocked off. I'm guarded a little bit. I can grab a hold of it and feel anchored when my knees get weak and I get scared. We're not in a safe place right now. This is a really weird place, and so I want to come out and sort of get behind from behind that as well, in a place where we kind of exist more together, recognizing that's kind of the state of the world we live in right now. We are oftentimes feel like we're secluded and blocked off in our world and safe. And right now we're not. Right now it's a very anxious and difficult feeling. And maybe part of our getting through this is embracing it and seeing how we can find strength in the midst of our fears. So I don't know, it's just maybe a suggestion how we could live. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 95, 1 through 3. If you would please rise, we'll have our call to worship together. Couldn't figure out a better one to have today. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make joyful noise to Him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God. Our first song this morning is number, is it 66? Am I right? Yeah, To God Be the Glory. From Psalm 126:3, these words: the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. If we truly believe that, may we lift up our voices and sing, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
all people in prayer in a few moments. And it comes from the scripture comes from Psalm 27, 7 through 8, and are these words. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious and answer me.
Come, my heart says, and seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. I want to invite Jim up in one moment. And he has a prayer that he sent me yesterday that I think is absolutely gorgeous for this moment. But I want us to recognize something about prayer and this concept of praying when we cry out. If we remember back in Exodus, the people of Israel cried out. And they almost didn't cry out to even God. It says they cried out and God heard them. One of our benefits of this relationship that we have with God is the ability to cry out. Sometimes those cries are cries that are good, right? Lord, thank you. Sometimes it was like last week, Lord, I just want to see. It's a plead. And sometimes it's just a cry. It's just a cry. And so in your prayer in this time, recognize that you can trust. We know it in scriptures and we know it from some other places. You can trust that when you cry out, God does hear us and God delivers us, right? And so I'm going to invite Jim up now to read this. And let's remember that it's okay to cry out. Would you? Or from wherever you want to. Okay. Well, yeah, you might want to do a microphone. Yeah.
Yeah, I shared this with Jason yesterday. I ran across it in a book I have called Every Moment Holy. If some of you may be familiar with that. If you're not, look for it. You can buy it in stores and online and stuff. But this is it's a book full of prayers and liturgies for just the mundane moments. And I saw this one. I shared it with Jason because I thought it was so fitting for the moment that we're in. Just bow your heads and think carefully and pray as I read this. Oh, Father God, in a world so wired and interconnected by our anxious hearts, we're pummeled by an endless barrage of troubling news. We are daily aware of more grief, O Lord, than we can rightfully consider, of more suffering and scandal than we can respond to, of more hostility, hatred, horror, and injustice than we can engage with compassion. But you, O Jesus, are not quieted by such news of cruelty and terror and war. You're neither anxious nor overwhelmed. You carried the full weight of the suffering of a broken world when you hung up on the cross, and you carry it still. When the cacophony of universal distress unsettled us, remind us that we are but small and finite creatures, never designed to carry the vast abstractions of great burdens. For our arms are too short and our strength is too small. Justice and mercy, healing and redemption are your great labors. And yes, it is your good pleasure to accomplish such works through your people, but you've never asked any one of us to undertake more than your grace will enable us to fulfill. Guard us then from shutting down our empathy or walling off our hearts because of the glut of unactionable misery that floods our awareness. You have many children in many places around this globe. Move each of our hearts to compassionately respond to those needs that intersect our actual lives, that in all places your body might be actively addressing the pain and the brokenness of this world. Each of us liberated and empowered by your Spirit to fulfill the small part of your redemptive work assigned to us. Give us discernment in the face of troubling news reports. Give us discernment to know when to pray, when to speak out, when to act, and when to simply shut off our screens and our devices and to sit quietly in your presence, casting the burdens of this world upon the strong shoulders of the one who alone is able to bear them up. Amen.
Didn't see any names that we need to be in prayer for, but I do want to give us the opportunity to lift up those names of people. So let's return to God again in prayer. Lord, we thank you for those words that were provided to us. We thank you, God, that you are in redemptive work, that you are in the fixing of this world work. And we know that there are many places that need to be fixed today. We know that this virus that is running around is such a rampant thing, and it needs to be resolved. And so we ask, Lord, that you give scientists and doctors and all those those professionals who need the space and ability to work, that you allow them that, that you give them that where it might not be now. Your miracles, Lord, may happen in a test tube. And we just want to make sure that they have the opportunity in every way to provide the health care that we all need. So release all burdens from them, Lord. Release everything from them. Allow them to put down outside the room everything that's holding them back. And as they go into that room to work, give them all the strength and allow them all the wisdom that they need. We ask that, Lord, because we know that they're on the front lines of trying to resolve this thing and they feel such a pressure to do it. We just ask that you give them strength and courage. We pray for all those that are vulnerable. We know that it goes a lot beyond even just individuals in our congregation, but we know it also goes to people who don't have those risk factors that maybe we recognize, because risk also looks like not getting a paycheck. Risk also looks like not being able to get to the store to get what you need because you don't have the money to get there because jobs are drifting away. And we ask God for blessings on those folks. And so we just lift up a few names here to you, God, because we want you to hear those names. We want you to know that we are crying them out, and we ask, Lord, that you hear our voice in the midst of our cries. These are the names, Lord, that we lift up.
Bill Lamb.
Jay Lofton.
And Chelsea Gugger.
Steve Alex Lundy.
And Jordan and Tony Stewart.
Melanie Soyson.
Amy Harris.
Opal McClanahan.
Cynthia Trump.
David Moore.
Mary Floyd. Carl Brenham.
All those, Lord, who feel as if they couldn't be here today, we ask blessings on them in this time. Lord, you hear these names and you know that we are truly in prayer for everybody today. And so we ask that you hear it through the prayer that your son taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Next song we're going to sing is number 428. I think this was pretty apropos as well. I need thee every hour. Is there anybody in here that doesn't need some Jesus today? I didn't hear an amen one. Because we do need a Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to sing together number 428, I need thee every hour. From Psalm 86:1. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
offertory scripture for the month is Genesis 2, 5, and 7. As we do this, we're going to do a little bit different today. We're just going to have our ushers come down the aisles. And so if you happen, if you're giving your offering today, you may have given it last week or last month. But if you're going to give it today, you just probably bring it to the aisles and place it directly in the plate. The offertory scripture for March is Genesis 2, 5, and 7. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for the giving of tithes and offerings. Gifts of life. We thank you, God, that you saw right to create us, and we know that in your creating us that we have some responsibilities, some expectations, and one of those is to give to you. So we present these offerings recognizing this is only a portion of that which we give. Truly, our entire life is to be a sacrifice unto you. So we ask, Lord, to take these offerings, multiply them like the loaves and the fishes in us, and let us go out and do amazing work in the name of the Lord. We ask you these things, Lord, in your name, and God's people said,
amen. Amen.
You may be seated again. Our scripture comes this morning from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the first of the sixth verses. I could have chosen a whole bunch of different scriptures for this. I really could have. But this one stood out to me with what I was going to try to talk about. But if you want to find this idea, pretty much flip open anywhere in the Bible and you're going to find something similar. That's the beauty of the scriptures. It comes from Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. As far as I am concerned, you can have 2020 back. I don't want this year anymore. You can have it. There was the flu to start off February. There was the tornado. And now we have this business. This year is nuts. I don't want any more. It's yours to take. I asked Mom if she'd ever... Mom's on here, by the way. Everybody wave to Mom. I asked Mom if she'd ever experienced anything like this in all her years, and she thought about it a minute, and then she said the only thing that came to mind was the Cuban Missile Crisis. My great-grandmother worried about everything. And during those days, she worried that Fort Knox was going to be missiled. And after that, the Soviets would missile it, and they'd catch the fallout in their rural Kentucky farm. Mom remembered everybody being anxious all the time and watching the news and wondering what the full truth of the matter really was. Were we days away from Armageddon? Could this be thwarted after all? Those are the exact same questions that we're asking today. She said it was sort of similar to those days. Still, I think it was different. Back then, you had an enemy that we knew the names. It was USSR, it was Khrushchev, it was Castro. We had all these reasons to hate them too, everything from communism to the Olympics. We could name our hate back then when we talked about them, and that's always a very comforting feeling to be able to name your hate. So we found someone to hate. But now we really don't have that. I mean, we do. It has a name, COVID-19, but that's just a science name for a little bitty virus, a coronavirus from 2019, new and improved, double the strength, can take out an aisle of Kroger in a heartbeat. Some have tried to name the culprit, Wuhan, China. They try to make a name to blame like that. I think that's misguided. We ought to lay off people who are just trying to live their life. Some blame the media, and yes, the media sure does know how to sell a story, don't they, with all the musical intros and the bomb, bomb, bombs leading into the news. They are good at selling that news, but they're good at it because we taught them how. The things we fear most get most of our attention, and we've taught them that, and if somebody will buy something, somebody else will surely sell it to them. But remember this while we're at it. All those talk shows telling us the media is trying to make money off of us are also trying to make money off of us. Their truth is colored the same green. And just for me, I'd rather have it reported on too much than too little. Ask everybody who died of AIDS about that. My humble suggestion, as people, us people of truth, that's what we Christians are we not? People of truth. My humble suggestion is that we listen to the professionals, CDC, the Department of Health, World Health Organization, science, medical doctors. That's the proper group to listen to on science things. That makes sense to me. And what they say is that there is a virus called COVID-19. It's not an enemy, but it's killed a bunch of people all over the world, mostly older people, not many children at all that I know of, but many in their senior years and others with conditions that weaken them to pneumonia, and that's heart-wrenching. And so we ought to be careful. We are being careful. We're taking all kinds of precautions just so we can meet this morning. Maybe we shouldn't have even met. I don't know. We've struggled with that as church leadership in a big way. And the reason we have is that there are that argued about it and talked about it is that there are a lot of lives that are worth it, I think. But we're here today. Who knows about next week? Who knows what's going to happen between now and then? That's a week. We didn't even know it was going to happen last week when the fish fry was here. That's a long time for a virus. And so my point, friends, is that we live in strange, strange, strange times. We're anxious. We're threatened. We're confused. We're perplexed. We're a little angry over that whole toilet paper situation. We worry we're not being careful enough, as if we could be that thing right now. And whether this is reality or not, whether coronavirus deserves this much or not, I think it does, but whether it does or not, the strange feeling we have is very real. It's real for all of us. We can say that. These are not normal times. It's real for grandparents who probably don't need the grandkids around right now, you know. It's tough for grandparents who don't have caregivers coming around or company keepers or people who just come by to say hello because they know they're lonely. It's real for sons and daughters of those older parents because we worry desperately, do we not? We know who's at risk. The COVID is no joke, and it gets a hold of certain demographics, and so we're careful for their sake. It's real for us because we can't gather together so easily anymore. Concerts are gone. Sporting events are gone. What are we going to do with our time? I wonder how long before movie theaters and other places start closing. And so it's hard for us gathering together, and because gathering together is part of being human. We're social creatures, and as we pull away from each other, it's very painful. We're not made like this. I mean, we all like being alone sometimes, some more than others, but all of us need that sense of community. It helps so much. This is real for workers. This is very real for them. There are plenty right now that are either losing wages, will lose wages, or are fretting this morning because they don't know how they're going to make ends meet now. I know many, Philip included, who just can't make money at their jobs right now. So, by the way, if you go out and eat, lay a big, fat, huge tip for that waiter or waitress. It may be the only one they get that day. If you take an Uber or Lyft, tip the driver big. If you know a neighbor that needs a hand up, help them out. Everywhere is hurting. This is real. It's weird, but it's real, and we're all having to deal with it. And that got me thinking. That got me thinking a lot. If now in this moment is different than anything else that we've ever dealt with, where does the faith stand in the middle of this weirdness? I think that's a good question to ask. If this is so new, where do we stand? Not as sufferers from the epidemic, not as ones who are paranoid, not as ones even who are anxious, wondering when this is going to get back to normal. Not asking out of fear or anything else, but as people of faith, where does the faith stand? How do we live out our faith in such strange and difficult times? And I started thinking about this, and somehow I thought about the very first sermon that I ever preached. Y'all, it was horrible. My first sermon was terrible. I've heard worse, but not much worse. So at home right now, and watching some true story, somebody's at home right now watching their live stream going, he ain't gotten much better. They don't know how bad that first sermon was. They don't know. I preached the first time at Suggs Creek Cumberland Presbyterian over in Mount Juliet. I wasn't in school yet or anything. I didn't know anything about preaching. I knew absolutely nothing about Scripture, or very little anyway. I wasn't qualified to tell anything about God whatsoever, but they needed a preacher that Sunday, and I was free. And so I ended up at Suggs Creek. Now, Suggs Creek, as you can probably tell from the name, does not have a big congregation. There were about 5 people in the congregation when we went. I took 7 with me of my family, which means we over doubled in size the congregation that day. True story. And the sermon was actually based on something my grandmother said. Don't tell her I said this, but I don't totally believe what she had to say. But she had a beautiful nugget of truth in it. I told her a couple of weeks before that first sermon, I was nervous. And she tried to allay my fears by saying, well, honey, it's the same story every time it's told. Just remember that. The gospel, she said, is the same story every time it's told. So that's what I preached on that first time. I preached that it's the same story every time it's told. Every time the gospel is told, it's the same story. Jesus died, was resurrected for the forgiveness of sins, and we all have this grace which we so desperately need. And that's what I preached. It's the same story every time it's told. Now, I realized a while later that her advice wasn't totally true. There are a lot of stories in the Bible, not just one, and some of them argue with each other. So for a long time, I thought that what grandmother said was wrong. She just didn't know what she was talking about. There's more than one story, grandmother. But then COVID-19 appeared. And I started thinking about what it is that's still true in this really strange world. If our world has changed so drastically, if it's just so off-center that we don't understand what in the world is going on, maybe we as Christians should ask the question, well, what's the same? What's the same as it's always been? In other words, how are we Christians supposed to be as Christians in this weird time? What is our God still about, even in this weird time? What is still our responsibility in a world that's existing now in anxiety and fear? And what caused me to think back, and that caused me to think back to that first sermon. I heard my grandmother's words. I heard, honey, it's the same story every time it's told. Not a thing has changed. See, what I'm saying is that there are some constants in the faith. There are some things that do not change. And one of the things that doesn't change, one of the stories that's never different, is that in the midst of anxieties in this world, in the midst of fear about things, in the midst of greed because I may need that toilet paper before somebody else does, in the midst of people losing paychecks, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of having to put up with these kids for another week or 3 in my house, not you all. in the loss of comfort and inability to control my world like I thought I could. In the middle of that, there is one constant. There is one thing that never changes. It's the same story every single time it's told, and the story is this. Christians are always expected to live out our faith and show other people the glory of God in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what else is going on. The story is always the same. Love your God and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Live a good life with others and show them how amazing your God is. And do it even when COVID-19 makes things weird. Just show people God, man. That's what Ephesians is about. Its main point in Ephesians is to imitate God in everything. It says over and over and over and over, just imitate God. You know how it is to imitate somebody, right? When Wes was a little boy, he ain't a little boy anymore, but when he was a little boy, he wanted to go squirrel hunting one time. So we dressed him up in little boots and got him a flannel shirt on like Dad's and put a little hat on him, and we got a picture of him like this, and you know. And we took off and went squirrel hunting. So we go off in the woods, and he started following me around, and he'd walk like me, you know. And he'd act like me, and he'd point to squirrels like I didn't point at any because there weren't any squirrels. I saw one. He saw 1,000. He did everything just like I did, imitating his father, because at the time he thought being like Dad was the best thing ever. Then he grew up and got smart. But back then he was, as we were supposed to be, imitators of the one who created us. And what Paul said to the Ephesians was that we are supposed to imitate our Creator, who did not come in Jesus Christ, by the way, at the easiest of times. And we are to strive to be just like Jesus Christ. We are slaves of Him. That's what the Ephesians read. And slaves do whatever it is that the Master asks. So we are to live a life worthy of what we are called to do. The story doesn't change. Lead a good life in the name of Jesus Christ, even in the midst of the weirdness. Paul said part of that is to be humble and gentle, not qualities that are highly respected and in demand these days. He says we Christians are to be patient and bear with one another in these weird and bizarre times. We are to love like Jesus loved and to do our very best to be in unity with everybody else, not blaming any group, but bringing people together in the name of the Messiah. Maybe not in person right now, except for those gathered here. Maybe only in spirit, because Paul says there is really only one thing that is certain in this world, and that is that God is God. We are all creations of the Creator. We are all made of the same stuff, man. We're all made of stardust. The virus treats us the same, and it's the Christian who lives in a way that shows that we believe that. Even when the rest of the world tells us not to, we are to live with love of everybody, period. That's it. I don't have a lot to say this morning. In fact, that's really all I came to say. I don't have to say anything else other than even in this time, even now when things get weird, the story doesn't change. Live like Jesus told us to. Live like the Ephesians learned they should. That's the only thing that's the same. So my suggestion when we leave here is just this. Let's go out there and find ways to be humble. Let's find ways to recognize our own frailty in all this and how others are so frail too. And lift and hold each other up and care for one another. Maybe we can send some cards to somebody or some texts or some make some extra phone calls to church friends who aren't getting out in this epidemic and just ask how their life is going. Maybe we can offer to go to the store or just sit on the phone and listen to a story or two. Let's be humble and realize that others are more important than us. Let's live like it. And let's be gentle. There's all kinds of people being anything but gentle right now. They're being greedy. They play the blame game with all that's going on. People are choosing sides, allowing this little bitty virus to be the big enough to split us apart. But what if we as Christians were not to care about any of that? What if Christians just showed the world what gentle really and truly looks like? What if we were to be kind to others no matter what and let that be our guide? Let's be gentle with others and care for them in their most anxious moments. A kind word goes a long way. Amen.
Amen.
Let's be patient. Let's be patient. Ain't nobody patient these days. People want their lives back. People want sports back. They want a concert back. They want school back in. They want this. They want that. They want their comfort is what they want, and nobody's patient. And here we are as Christians, so patient, and people can't figure out why in the world we ain't getting worked up over it all. Well, we're patient because God knows Jesus was patient with me. And let's be unified with everybody. A virus doesn't care about lines that we humans draw. DNA doesn't matter to virus. It only matters to us. And so as Christians, we should prompt unity. That's what we do, and we do it because God is like that, and we are imitators of God. No, now that's not an easy list to implement. It's very general and vague thoughts. And that's because this faith is not a checklist. It's a way of life. It's just good. It's just wonderful, and nowadays I think that we just ought to be that as much as we possibly can. Let us simply be good. Care about everything. Care about the hurting right now. Care about the scared. Care about the anxious and the terrified, the anxious and the fearful, and let's act like Jesus is in the midst of it all, and let us imitate Him. Who else would we choose to be like? And more than that, doing so may even soothe our own souls. It might help us to do these things because it might just make us feel better. Maybe we're not fixing the world as much as we're just reorienting ourselves. Look, church, let me say this out loud. God is amazing. God is worthy of worship because in times even worse than COVID-19, God was good and patient and humble and all that for us. That's who God is. God has always been that way. It's the same story every single time it's told. So let's go be that. In a weird and scary time, let's go be that way so much that people just can't believe we're that way at all. Check on your neighbors. Support ideas that help survive in these economic burdens. Call your church family and the stranger around the corner and do it all so much that somebody will ask us, why are you like that? And we'll tell them it's because we're imitating our Father. He's always been that way. He's never changed. God is good.
Amen.
We are saved.
Always.
We have been given a way to live because it's the best thing for us all. And right now, the world needs that more than ever. It needs humble, kind, patient people, and that's what I'm trying to be because my grandmother told me that the faith is the same every time it's told, and I believe that's right now. Let's leave here, and let's go live it out. And God's people said, Our hymn of invitation is number 286. It's Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. I picked this because I think in this time we need all the ties that we can to bind us together. I'm not going to offer so much the altar for those who need to come. But if you want to, while we're standing, sit down and pray for a minute. Stand up and pray for a minute. And pray that we have these ties that bind us together as people and tie us to God. We need those binds, or the bindings right now. And I pray that we all find them. Would you please rise and sing number 286, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Again, let's say what we believe together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hear the benediction. Go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, go in mercy, go wash your hands. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. And God's people said,
amen.
I'll shake your hand from here. Blessings to y'all.